Okay, let's pray. Yah, we bless you as we present ourselves to you again on this training school service so that we can walk in understanding of your word. On today, we ask you from that standpoint to lead and guide us in all truth. Just give us the wisdom and understanding that's necessary to carry ourselves as the children of the Most High Yah. And we glorify you for that in the name of Yehoshua Mashiach, we pray. We do pray. Amen. what I want to do is I want to talk about something that I had written about a few days ago, and I want to deal with some things along the lines of that, because I think it's vitally important for us to understand where we are, especially dealing with some things that's getting ready to happen. In our future that we've discussed quite a few times. That we've discussed quite a few times, and so I wanted to deal with this. We'll be coming from 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the title of this is, It is the Root of Many Sorrows. It is the Root of Many Sorrows. And I'll start out by just reading what I initially had written. Sometimes things have happened between my loved ones and I, and it caused me to have a difficult time understanding why it had to go in that direction. Then Yah reminded me of a truth, and this is the truth that I went into dealing with, and then I'll just read the passage, then we'll start dealing with some things within this subject matter so that we can make sure that we walk in full understanding as the children of the Most High Yah. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 10. We'll start out there, and then we're gonna move back and forth through that in order to understand what Yah wants us to see in this here. But again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll look at verse 10. We'll start out at verse 10, and then again we'll move around. Okay. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 says, For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, when you look at this, a lot of times people take things out of its contextual meaning. You remember one of the facets by which we understand certain things. We look at things in the literal, but then it's vitally important for us to understand what this scripture is meaning, because if we don't, we'll try to associate everything with, like I've heard most people do, or at least a lot of people do. I'll stick with most. What I've heard most people do is they associate money. Well, you know, the reason why, you know, there are problems in the relationship is because of money. The reason why there are problems, you know, people get killed because of it. So they start throwing all these different things in to say that, bottom line, it is the root of all evil. You look at all evil that's going on in the world, you'll find, you know, some form of money or something attached to it. But that's not what the scripture is wanting us to understand, you know. And so I approach things from a certain way in order to bring about exposing that that's not the case as far as all evil is concerned. You know, and so you get, you know, first of all, we have to come to an understanding that it doesn't say money is evil. You know, it doesn't say money is evil. It says the love of it, okay, the love of money. Now, when you look at the word money, to take our focal point off of just the money, although we use that as a launching pad to bring us into understanding, the meaning of the word money, or the what Yah wants us to understand in this, is greed. It's greed. So when it says the love of money or greed is the root of all evil. Now, when you look at all evil, you have to look at the colon that's there. And the colon that's there lets us know that we have to stay within this sentence in order to understand what Yah is talking about. Because we can't now and take just because it says all evil, and we want to now look at everything as far as evil is concerned to say, see, money got something to do with it. No, that colon there lets us know that we have to connect the thought to the rest of the verse, and we don't have the right now to take money and connect it to all. So it's all that's associated with whatever it's saying in the next verse, next portion of the verse. So the love of money or greed is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred, from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Now, that gives us a focal point to let us know why the scripture is making it clear to us that this mindset can bring about evil from the meaning by which y'all want us to understand this now. So, when we start to look at it in its meaning, in other words, this is what this passage is saying. In other words, it's saying greed is the root of all evil in regards to people who will stretch themselves out in any manner to attain material things. So when you look at that love, it associates the perspective of the money. The money is just sitting there. We'll find out, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, we'll understand that the money is just a tool. But the issue is when we take on a certain mindset about it, when we take on a certain mindset to the point where we don't realize that it's a tool, or we stop realizing that it's a tool, or maybe never realize that it's a tool, but then start looking at it as the method by which life is accomplished, or success is accomplished. So, again, in other words, greed is the root of all evil in regards to people who will stretch themselves out in a manner to attain material things. Whenever we get to the point where greed or the love of resources will call us to do anything to gain that resource, that's what the scriptures say. It becomes a problem. It becomes a problem now when our whole focal point, our daily lives are consumed with attaining it so that we can attain other things. Greed is the root of all evil in regard to people who will stretch themselves out in a manner to attain material things. Those who are like this, and that's why the scripture goes on and says this, those who are like this will even stray away from their conviction of what they know is the truth. People who operate in greed will separate themselves from what they know is right in order to attain the material things. Okay? Again, those who are like this will even stray away from their conviction of what they know is the truth, thus torturing their soul with many griefs and pains. We would be shocked the amount of people who is weary about life based upon whether they have gained or lack thereof on material things. You'd be surprised how many churches have gauged their success in ministry
based upon having a building, a material thing. And so they will refuse to look at the lives of the people that's being changed from understanding the truth. And I'm just saying it just from our perspective, because I can't go by what everybody else is saying, because I'm not in all those cities. So I'm just using this as a general statement. And so you will have people that will not be able to look at the fact that they're growing and having an understanding of the scripture and learning things from the kingdom of Yah from their perspective. Their sole success in ministry is based upon well, we're in a building. We're in a beautiful building. And you have people that will associate their success their success or their status in what church they go to based on a material thing. That's greed. So again, in other words, greed is the root of all evil in regards to people who will stretch themselves out in any manner to attain the material thing. When a person stretches themselves out in a manner to attain material things to the point to where they're willing to turn their back on Yah and all to attain it, then that's what the scripture is letting us know. It is the root of all evil from that perspective now. Okay? Those who are like this will even stray away from their conviction of what they know is truth, thus torturing their soul with many griefs and sorrow, griefs and pain. There's a circumstance, you know, that is materializing from some things that has, you know, things that has happened from the perspective of mom, and that's all I'll say about that. But through these things that have happened, I have seen individuals that are grieved because their mindset is not on just wanting things to be right. Their mindset is based upon the greed for money to the point where they're willing to try to hide things that they know is the truth just so that they can have material possession. Just so that they don't have to lose money from their perspective. You know, because it, their mindset is okay. If I be honest and if I tell the truth, although I know everything is the truth, my mindset is, you know, just accept the fact that I messed up and there shouldn't be any consequences on it as far as my part is concerned. You know, all because if there are consequences, then it puts me in a situation where it affects my material possession. That's the mindset. That's what greed will do. So when the scripture is saying this, greed, the love of money, greed, is the root of all evil. Okay? Which while some coveted after, they will do anything. The coveted after meaning that they will stretch themselves out. They will do whatever is necessary to attain material possession. They'll put their body in jeopardy. They will do all these things. All these things to attain, that they will stretch themselves out there to attain it. And so that's what it's saying. That's what covetous means. The covetous means that an individual will stretch. That's what it says. It says stretch themselves out in a manner to attain material things. That's what covetous means. We covet money, or we love material things. We'll stretch our way, we'll go out our way to try to attain. Okay? Those who are like this will even stray away from their conviction of what they know is the truth, thus torturing their souls with grief and pain. Okay? Now, what we have to realize from this perspective, and I ain't gonna, you know, just respect the lesson, I'm not gonna say things like the way I write a lot of times, because a lot of times it's straightforward in some of the things that I say. One of the things that I learned a lot of things from my mom, and she would say little simple stuff, But they were deep, man. They were just some deep stuff. And some of the things that she was saying, she would repeat stuff and say different things. And if you really listen to what she was saying, she said a lot of, she had a lot of wisdom in the cliches she would use. You know, a lot of times when she would say, you know, talk is cheap, it takes money to buy land. You know, and what that told me, boy, you can say stuff all you want to, but until you put some action with what you say, it don't mean nothing. You can say you want to buy land all you want to, but if you don't put some corresponding action with that, it's not going to happen. It takes something else to go with talk. That's what I learned from her. And just that little statement, and that's all she was saying. She never explained it. She just said, talk is cheap, it takes money to buy land. And wouldn't say another word about it. And if it went over Pearl's head, she'd be like, you're going to get it after a while. You're going to get it after a while. Keep talking, and I'm going to keep telling you that, and you're going to get what I'm saying. You know, and those are things that she said, you know, at least some of the things that she said that I really apply a lot of those things, and I understand a lot of things, you know, from just cliches she used. Well, one of the other things that she was saying, and everybody would laugh when she would say it, but it was a vital truth associated with it. She would always say, and she would say this often, you know, big people just stupid and ignorant. You know, she would say, people just stupid and ignorant. And I laughed when I would hear her say it, but when you look at the simplicity in what she was saying, she was really pointing out how things in this world operate, and the way that things operate in this world, a lot of it is based upon stupidity and ignorance. She said that's just stupid and ignorant, you know, and she would associate the words together because, you know, a lot of it would be associated with just not knowing, but she would be like, okay, some of this stuff is just stupid. I mean, people know what this, you know, people know the things that they're doing. They just go out and do it anyhow. And people can be just stupid and ignorant. Not just stupid, but stupid and ignorant. Ignorant because of not knowing, and then stupid because you knew that it was something that shouldn't have been done, and then went and did it anyhow. You know, and I was like, boy, that fit me a lot of time. I've done a lot of stupid stuff. Knew it was messed up, and then it was like, man, I knew it. I knew I shouldn't have done it. And then at the same time, I did some things out of ignorance, too. And so those are just little things that she would say. And so from that point of view, you know, it just caused me to understand this. And so I wrote this thought, and I said, I'm amazed at the things that people say. I said, y'all know what I'm talking about. They say that if they had plenty of money, then they would do this and that. Yet they don't realize money only enhances what we are. So all of us must understand that, you know, from within the vein of what mom calls stupid and ignorant, that's the understanding that it brought me to. It brought me to understanding that nothing changes, how can I put this, that things don't change because we increase or decrease in areas. We have to understand that money only enhances what we are. It only enhances what we are. And so I use this as example to really point that out. I said, little money, caring person. If you are a caring person, money don't change that. If that is clearly within our nature, money doesn't change what we really are. Money only brings out in us what we really are. So if I'm a caring person with very little, then when I get a whole lot on that same caring person, if I change, it's because I've been fronting. I'm not a caring person. If I can now become, you know, I like to say when I get talking about money, as far as God, he says he's a gazillionaire. If I become a gazillionaire, then all of a sudden I stop becoming a caring person. I never was. I was fronting. I was just fronting. Okay? And so it's vital important for us to understand it. So I use this as a cliche. And I said, little money, caring person. Big money, caring person. Money only enhances what we are. If I have little and I'm a caring person, then if I get millions of it, as far as Gump said, good things, I'm still going to be the same caring person. That's one of the reasons why I really love the movie for Forrest Gump, Because no matter what happened with Father Trump, he was always Father Trump. He was a gazillionaire, still mowing the school property. I think it was the school property. Where he went to school, elementary school. Still mowing that property. A gazillionaire riding on a ride lawnmower, still doing what he was doing because that's who he was. That's why it's one of my favorite movies, because no matter what that boy did, he always stayed grounded. You know, he got into circumstances, but he got in those circumstances because he was sincere. He was just who he was. So when he became a successful businessman, he was still that same little down there country boy as the way he grew up, not having, you know, not having a whole bunch of enough to get by. Little money, caring person. Big money, caring person. So when a person tells me, man, if I have $1 million, I do this and do that for the church, I'd be like, if you don't do nothing now, then it's not going to change. We're never going to change. Never going to change. That's just an excuse to cause us to not have to be exposed concerning what we really are. That's why I always use the statement. That's why I use this statement here. People don't realize. So I just said again, I'm amazed at the thing that people say. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They say that if they had plenty of money, then they would do this and that. Yet they don't realize that money only enhances what we are. Little money, caring person. Big money, caring person. Little money, butthole. I'm gonna change that. Little money, bad person. Little money, bad person. Big money, bad person. It doesn't change. You don't become good because you have big money now. You just become a worse person than you are because it only enhances that. You're able only to show everybody that bad. And so I encourage each one of us to adopt the concept of understanding what the scripture is teaching us about gain, because that's what the basis of all down to. Okay? Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 gives us a clear understanding of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 6 gives us a clear understanding of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, true in doctrine. That's what wholesome words mean. Consent not to wholesome words, true in doctrine, even the words of our Jehovah, Yeshua, Mashiach, and to the doctrine which according to godliness, reverence toward Yah. That's what godliness truly is, reverence toward Yah. He is proud. Now, when you look at pride, proud is in someone who's inflated with self-deceit. A scripture says pride comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So a person who operates in pride is inflated self-deceit. Okay? So again, it says according to godliness, he is proud, inflated with self-deceit, knowing nothing. Knowing nothing, but doting about questions of strife or words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain, money get it. And it brings all the way back up to this, to lead down to verse 10. Supposing that gain, which is money getting, is godliness. You'd be surprised how many people think that they're blessed by Yah because they have money. I can show you plenty of devils with it. You'd be surprised the Christians, the churches that teach that having money is a sign to show that Yah has his hand up on the individual or having material things. The scripture points out clearly, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world material and lose his soul? It's mental disposition. And you have this, so you have preachers who will do this. They will sit down, they will sit congregants, they will teach congregants that success is based upon the material thing. So you need to have this kind of house, you need to have this kind of car, you need to have this kind of money. You need to have all these different things, and all this here is from what the scripture said, men who know nothing. These things called, as when you look at verse 3 through 6, these things called nothing but whereof coming strife of words, envy, strife, railing, evil surmising. Let me pull up my other Bible information here, and we'll just deal with some of these words. Okay. Okay. Now, strife of words, obviously that's what it means. When you look at envy, jealousy, all this kind of stuff causes jealousy and envy. When at a time we should be celebrating the success that we have as far as life is concerned, when things are done in a way to make people focus on material possessions, then, you know, I get jealous because brother-in-law got him a new truck. That's it. If I can't celebrate his success, if I can't celebrate something that he's accomplished from a material perspective, then that means now I fall down in the category of verse 10. I love those things to the point to where I stretch myself out to get it, and since I haven't accomplished my goal, I'm mad at him because he accomplished it. And it works vice versa. If he's walking around now with his chest stuck out because he's accomplished his goal, then I have to get it, and he's no better off than I am. So we have to make sure that we have to make sure that these things that we're accomplishing doesn't cause strife and issues. Okay? Now, again, verse 4 says he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, envy is jealousy, strife is contention, debate. Railing, when you look at railing, that's evil speaking. Okay, evil surmising, suspicion. Okay, so again, suspicion, perverse disputing. Okay, meddling in a person's business. That's what perverse disputing is. Corrupt minds. Okay, corrupt mind that's decaying, corrupt, perishing. Okay, corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth, destitute, lacking the truth. Kept back, they're frauding. You know, people minds who are like this, they're defrauding one another. Destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. How many people you run across? Even not just in the world, but in the church, in the church, people who call themselves belonging to God. How many people have you run into that always associate material things with God? Crazy. Again, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. The scripture said when a person has this mindset. But a person has a mindset that will focus on gain, material things as being something that shows that God is blessing them, God says, best you can do is get away from those individuals. Then he goes on and tells us in verse 6, he says, but godliness, now in order for us to understand what godliness is, in order for us to understand what godliness is, we'll just deal with it. I'm going to go back to my other information. Now, it says, again, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, true in doctrine, even the words of our Jehovah, Yeshua, Mashiach, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, godliness is reverence towards Yah. It's reverence towards Yah. He is proud and inflated with self-deceit, knowing nothing, but doing about questions of strife, questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, even surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain, money getting, is godliness. Reverence taught, yeah. It says, from such, withdraw, cut loose, cut them loose. But godliness, reverence toward Yah, God, reverence toward Yah, with contentment. Contentment is sufficiency of necessities of life is great gain. Okay? Simply speaking, now just to interpret 1 Corinthians verse 6, 3 through 6, it says, simply speaking, those who are inflated with self-deceit and without understanding don't teach the true doctrine of Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ. Instead, they use their own customs. You're looking at the customs of men. In the references, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, where it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap up themselves with teachers having itch and ears, and they shall depart from the faith and shall turn to fables. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. In other words, instead they use their customs, teaching that money getting is reverence towards Yah. Therefore, we must separate ourselves from these type of people, because true reverence towards Yah, with sufficiency, with sufficiency of the necessities of life, is the right way. That's the right way. I even know preachers who will teach based upon Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Verse 19, I know preachers who teach that money answers all things. The same way you said in Timothy, it said the love of the money is the root of all evil. There are preachers who will tell you money will answer anything. Child, I'm sick, give me some money. I've been in cities. I'm talking about well-known preachers I've heard them say. If I'm sick, give me some money. I'm going to feel better. It said, answer everything. And I'd be looking like, man, I mean, that's crazy. It answers all things or according to the purpose that is meant. Now, when you look at Ecclesiastes, you'll see that being the case. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, we'll look at verse 19. Now, when you look at verse 19, you stay within the contextual meaning of the verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19 says, "A feast is made for laughter." Okay, a feast is made for laughter. Okay, that's food. So food is made for laughter. That's what it's saying. A feast. So you look at a feast as it's food. Celebration, meat, visuals, okay? So it says, the feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, okay? And wine maketh merry, okay? Wine maketh merry. But then it has a code in there to let us know what money is the answer of. Money answers all. That's what it says. But money answers all things. You take the things out, because it doesn't mean anything. So the thing is put there, and so it's italicized, so it let us know that it's something that shouldn't necessarily, that is not needed to be there, because it's pointed out in the verse that money answers the perspective, or it is a witness for, it pays attention to a feast and wine. Money can buy you some food. Money can buy you some wine. So that's what it means when it says, but money answers all things. What? within the same contextual meaning of where it's written. You don't now take that and start doing what other preachers do. Some of them well know that start going around there and they're correcting this verse, says money answer all things. And those who have breathed for it, well, they eat it up. I've been sitting in the city, and when these preachers have read this passage, I've seen folks almost get up and start running and jumping and shouting and hallelujah and amen, because their mindset, the greed has caused them to think that I'll stretch myself out there, and if I can attain it, I got everything. It can answer anything. And so the preacher starts giving a list. And they'll start saying amen. It can answer when you're sick. Boy, I give me some money. Bring me some money. And I start feeling better. Yeah, but on your day, your deathbed, you can bring trucks up in. And it ain't going to get you out of that thing. So it can answer all things. It answers within the category of what it's intended to do. Because it's nothing but a tool to operate within the guidelines are profound for which it is used for. You can buy food with it. You can buy wine with it. Money can answer that every time. You take a kid, go to any food place in the United States and put some money on the table. And if it's enough money, I guarantee they're going to give you whatever food you want. Go to any liquor store and put some money on the table. And if it's enough, they'll let you walk around in there and take anything out of there if you want to, because that money going to answer. Okay? That money is going to be a witness for your ability to get what you want. Okay? It's going to give an account in a nutshell. So it answers all things from that perspective now. Okay? Now, as we continue on here, what I love about Paul was someone who was very balanced in life. And I'm going to be like Paul from this perspective. There are things that I have experienced. There are some things I haven't experienced. But I'm just saying there are things that I have experienced that has put me in a position or to have a mindset where I can relate to what Paul is saying here. And he said this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, because Paul experienced a lot of things. Paul was shipwrecked. You can read some things about Paul. Paul went through some tough stuff. Paul was stoned one time and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. And when they were shipwrecked, he ended up stranded. And while he was there stranded, he sit there and a snake latched onto his hand and bit him, and it was a poisonous snake, and they thought he was going to die, but he's sitting there looking at him like, boy, this man, we just survived a shipwreck, and he's getting here on this island, and then he gets bit by a poisonous snake. You know, so Paul experienced a lot of things. But what I like about what Paul says, he's dealing with some things in Philippians chapter 4, I'll go to Philippians 4, but I'm gonna, instead of starting at verse 1, I'm going to go up. I mean, instead of starting at verse 11, I'm going to go up a little bit. But Philippians verse 1, I'm going to start at verse 4. Philippians 4, yeah. Philippians 4, verse. I'm going to start at verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. He starts out, well, I'm not going to go to verse 1. He starts out and he says, rejoice in Jehovah always. Rejoice in Jehovah always. Take that regardless, and that's what he's leading up to. He said, rejoice in Jehovah always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, when you look at that, he's like, be cheerful. Be happy, be well off in Yah. Okay? That's why our prosperity is, that's why our success is. So he's saying, be well off in Yah. Rejoice in Yah. Always. Not in specifics, but always. Whatever circumstances, rejoice. He said, let your moderation, which is patience, mild gentleness, be known unto all men. Jehovah is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That careful means anxious. Don't get stressed out. Don't let anxiety kick in. So he says, be anxious for nothing. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything now. Prayer. Okay. Everything prayer. And supplications. Okay. With thanksgiving. Let your request be not be made let your request be made known unto Yah. It says, and the peace which passes all understanding. Where does the peace come from? So you get people talking about, I have peace that passes all understanding. There's only one way to get it. There's only one way to be in a crazy circumstance and still have peace. I run into a lot of people say, man, I don't care what's going on, I just have my peace. And I'd be like, if you don't understand the law by which the scripture says you attain that peace that passes all understanding, where no matter what goes on, a person said, man, that person, how is that person keeping the peace? Okay? How can the peace of Yah, which passes all understanding, be there? Now, when you look at that peace deals with rest. It also deals with prosperity. So my prosperity and my rest and my prosperity doesn't have anything to do with what's happening to me on the outside. Because when you look at it and you go back up to verse 4, he tells me how I get my peace. If I rejoice. Now when you look at the word rejoice here, again it says be happy or well off. Okay? That's where you get the term God be from. Okay? Be glad. Rejoice. He's letting us know, rejoice in Jehovah always, because that's where your peace is always. When he stopped being glad because of his relationship with Yah, then his peace goes. When I realize that the very reason why I am who I am and everything that I am is Yah, and I reverence that. When we just leave 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says godliness. This is the godliness that we're talking about. When I rejoice, it is me saying my circumstance, my surrounding doesn't make me glad. But my surrounding is now I'm going in a vein, a revelation now. My surrounding is that Yah has me covered. That's my gladness. So it is not the environment that makes me glad. It is what I know and my reverence toward him. It is my godliness, my reverence toward him that will make me rejoice. Because when my reverence toward him is the cause of my rejoice, then regardless of what goes on around me, it doesn't take my peace. See, because if my environment or if my circumstance is the thing that brings me to joy, then all the enemy has to do is get at that. Brother Law, if you're my source for my gladness, then all he has to do is take you away from me. My gladness gone. So I have to rejoice now, or my gladness has to be in him. When my gladness is in him, now I can get down to verse 7 and I can have peace that passes all understanding, because it's not going by what it looks like around me or how I feel or how all this. It's all based upon my gladness is in him, because I understand who he is in me and who he is to me and what I am to him. Verse 4, rejoice in Jehovah when always. And again, I say, he repeats it. this is something about important. Always rejoice in Yah. Always rejoice. Always be glad in Yah. Okay. Verse 5, let your moderation be made known unto all men that Jehovah is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto Yah. Ain't nothing wrong for asking. Ain't nothing wrong with having things. That's why Paul goes on and says, we'll find out a little bit later. Verse 7, he says, and the peace of Yah, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through the Mashiach Yehoshua, Christ Jesus. And the peace of Yah, which passes all understanding, shall keep your mind. What does it mean by keep your mind? Okay? It will keep your mind. It will put guards around. Shall keep your heart and mind. Okay, keep your heart and mind through the Messiah. Okay, so when you look at hearts, that deals with the state of mind. When you deal with the word mind, basically that points out to be you. So that's why it says heart and mind. Not only will he keep you, but he will keep your mind. He keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. See, the mind in this passage is you. The heart is your state of you. So he keeps me, mind, he keeps me in perfect peace whose mind, mental disposition, is stayed on him. So if I can keep my focus on him, then I'm always going to stay in prosperity. Okay? I'm always going to stay in prosperity. I'm always going to put myself in position where I'm at rest. Everything is fine. Everything is good. I'm okay. Okay? I'm okay. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, think from a perspective of what brings joy through the knowledge of us knowing who we are in Him. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the Yah of peace shall be with you. Yah of peace shall be with you. Okay? Now I'm going to move down to the verse. I'm going to go to verse 10. I'm going to go to verse 11 because that's where I want to be. It says, but I rejoice in Jehovah greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourish again, where ye were also careful, but lacked opportunity. In other words, Paul is dealing with the church whereby he's talking about his you know, there were things that they did to support Paul, and then there was sometimes there, you know, things were going on where they couldn't support him, and so that's what he's talking about, and so he's encouraging them from that perspective. Hey, when I needed support, you supported me. When there was opportunity, lack of opportunity for it to happen, you know, either way, I was fine. In other words, when you fail to do it, I was still fine. And then he makes a statement in verse 11. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, okay, of want falling short. He said, for I have learned. Paul said, I'm not encouraging you for the things that you do, all because I'm trying to boost you up to meet me in my needs of life, Paul said, because I don't get caught up that way. He says now, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned. Now, when you look at the word learn, he said, it's understood. But I have learned to I understand in whatsoever state I am. Whatsoever state I am. In other words, what circumstance I'm in at the time, whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Okay? Therewith to be content.
And so I'm going to go back to where I was writing, and I want to just break that verse down. Paul said this now, not that I speak in respect of want, I have learned in whatsoever state at which place I am, that with to be content. I learned how to be self-satisfied. Where does that self-satisfaction go up? Well, he tells us in verse 4, he said, rejoice in Jehovah. The reason why I'm self-satisfied is because I have learned how to rejoice in Jehovah. Rejoice in Yah. Okay? That with to be content. Content is self-satisfied. He says, this is why I know both how to be abased, low, and I know how to abound, be in excess. He said, everywhere and in all things I am instructed. I have been taught. I have learned. I have been taught. I teach. I have not only been taught, but I teach both to be full and to be hungry. Okay? Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens and enables me. We have to understand that regardless of whatever circumstance we're in, we can do it. We can now have peace that passes all understanding through Christ, who is our strength. Okay? He's the source. He's the source. And so it's vitally important for us to understand that. And I just said this in the end. I just said words for the day. Money are just tools. We have to understand that Yah has blessed us to be able to, whatever reason we have, our jobs, how will we do it, to accumulate these things, but they're nothing but tools. Okay, money are just tools. And so our responsibility now is don't let the money turn us into tools, losers. Okay, we are the children of the Most High now. We don't allow these different things to turn us into losers, but we want to make sure that we put ourselves in position now whereby we understand that it is a tool, and Yah has blessed us to be able to be in whatever position that we're in. I look at whatever position that I'm in as a blessing. When I lost my first house, and you know we were homeless as far as my family's concerned, I rejoiced. I would walk up in the pulpit and I would still preach. I would still preach like I had everything and didn't have nothing. I would tell the whole church how wonderful y'all was and how he would bless you, and he still would do it, even in that abased state, that low state. I was glad. Whatsoever state we're in, whether we're abased or abounding, whether we're in the valley, we're all, so to speak, hell or heck, however you want to put it, is breaking loose. In regards to whatever state we're in, we have to learn how to rejoice, be glad in Yah. Because no, I don't care how crazy it gets, I still got Yah. But because society has been taught that success is based upon gain, then people associate their relationship with Yah based upon what they have from a material point of view. Gain. So that's why, you know, my mindset is, okay, if I have it, fine. If I don't, fine. Whatever state I'm in, I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to continue to move forward in what Yah has called me to do in Him. Don't let your gain determine your gladness, or the lack thereof determine your blessing. When we do that now, we are fitting the bill of 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. It is the love of now gain now. It's love of gain now. And when we get in that mindset, Yah now is saying, okay, we're in error now. It's error now, because now all success and happiness is based upon something that is perishable, gain. There have been a stretching out to get the gain, and the gain now
puts us in a position where we think now that we're good. Y'all said that's a setup for a loser. We want to make sure that we don't operate that way. Okay? Because it is vitally important for us to understand that Yah is the source by which our joy and happiness is, and everything, as he said in Timothy, as I read them again, and we'll go ahead and get ready to close. Verse 7, it says again, and the peace of Yah which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through the Mashiach Yehoshua, Christ Jesus. He says, finally, my brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. You can't buy truth. You can't buy honesty. Notice money can't buy none of this stuff, but yet preachers will tell you that it answers all things. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest. This is how we have peace that passes all understanding. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, praise, if there be any praise, the same thing in a sense. It says, think on these things. Your prosperity is in your state of mind. I'll show you plenty. I've met plenty of millionaires that mine wasn't prosperous. They didn't know how to love. They didn't know how to walk in truth. They didn't know how to operate in these things that we're being told from the perspective of peace in verse 7 and 8 and beyond that. They didn't know how to operate within these things. And because of that, they were, you know, like what I had said earlier, it brings many sorrows and pain. Just a tool. Just a tool. And I read this as I get ready to close here. Chapter 12, and he just led me here to close. Luke chapter 12, we'll start at verse 16. No, we'll go back. Verse 15, Luke 12, verse 15, it says, and I just thought that because of time. Luke 12, verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now remember, when we dealt with covet from the perspective of 1 Timothy chapter 6. So when you look at covetousness here, it's the same word, greediness. Every time a person covets something, it is greediness. Okay? I just finished, I think he's finishing up on his farm. If I went in there and got mad about it and be like, man, they don't take all this, that there's greediness on my part. That's what covetousness is. It's greediness, okay? Now, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Covetousness. Covetousness.
the covetousness, which is greediness. Beware of greediness, for a man's life consisted not of the abundance of things which he possesses. Okay? And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits. When you look at fruits, it's produce, okay, in a nutshell, produce, fruit, you know, grain, however you want to look at it. Then he said this is verse 18, and he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so he's saying, I will say to my soul now, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Okay, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This was a guy whose life would, 1 Timothy 6 and 10 talk about. This guy is a love of gain. So he stretched himself out. What did he do? He tore down his barn. This guy goes, I'm going to turn down my smaller barn, a little bit greater. So he stretched himself out now to accomplish this. And now he's thinking that his success, his ease in life is based upon all the things that he has, that he sees as far as his possession is concerned. Again, verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This is what he's saying to himself. But Yah speaks to him now. Verse 20, but Yah said unto him, thou fool. He said unto him, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I'm going to demand back. I'm going to ask again. Your soul shall be required of thee. Okay? Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Okay? So then it goes on and says, again, verse 21. And I explain verse 20. It says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward Yah. That rich toward Yah is the same thing when he said rejoice. And from the same mental disposition. That's why when you look at Timothy, and I'm going to read verse Timothy again to show you how there's association with it. Now, here's what it says. Here's what it says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 through 6. And I'm going to read, verse 6, I believe. I read verse 6. Verse 6 says, but godliness, now reverence toward Yah, with contentment, sufficiency of the necessity of life is great gain. Reverence toward Yah is great gain. Now, Luke turns around and says the same thing that Timothy is saying in a nutshell when you look at this, because it's talking about what rich is doing. When you look at rich, it points to increase or great gain. It says increasing good. Your increasing good or our increasing good should always be toward Yah. We shouldn't have the mindset of the rich man to think that the outward things are the things that causes us to be at ease. Yah said, okay, you built all these things, you did all this here, you stretched yourself out for gain, now you have it, and Yah said, you're not going to get the job. Who else? Somebody else is going to get to enjoy what you built if your mindset is not rich toward me. Vital important that we have to understand. Now, am I saying don't have nice things, don't do nice things? Obviously not.
I'm just making sure that as we all continue to head towards success, once we finish our building, we should now sit back and take ease now. We shouldn't back and sit back and take ease now, because that is not the avenue by which we determine our success. If I can't rejoice now, if I can't be glad in y'all now, that building not gonna do me any good. That's one of the reasons why y'all always put it in my heart. He did it when I first started preaching. He was like, I remember the first time we was having, we called it Sunday school back then. We was having Sunday school, and I got there, and you know, we had, you know, a good little group that was coming to the store, was in the storefront. Church was about 3 months old. You know, we had good, you know, good size congregation for a church that young. And, you know, from 3 weeks, we had 40 people in 3 weeks. And so church had grew like crazy, went from 7 to 21 to 39 in 3 weeks, and just kept going from there. My choir we had was bigger than most folks' churches back then. We just were growing. And so that particular Sunday, everybody was late coming to Sunday school. And so I was sitting there, and I had got halfway mad at some of y'all. I was like, no, boy, this is about your faithfulness now. You open that Bible up and you preach as if it was you were preaching in front of a million people. I open that Bible up and I start to teach. First thing I did, I said, well, chairs, we finna get ready to go on the Saturday. And I started teaching a lesson. Everybody came in as they were coming in, the first one that came in was one of my deacon's wives. She's the first one that came in. When she did, she walked in real slow and started looking around. She was in shock. She was kind of afraid to sit down, because she was like, what is Pastor doing? He didn't preach hard. There ain't nobody here but him. So she sat down, and then finally she started smiling, started turning the page to the point where I was sitting on the aisle, one paying attention to her. I was just preaching right on. Then everybody started kind of slowly making their way in. But that was me. Y'all was like, I call you do what you do, and you don't do it based upon how many folks in here or not in here. You preach the same way. And anybody who have ever seen or heard me preach in different audiences, I preach the same way to one person than I would to thousands. Same deal. I even know preachers who will get a message and prepare, and if there's not enough people in there, they'll hold that message back. I'm going to preach on this another time, because this is good, and I don't want to race it on a few years that year. I know the preacher who actually will do that. And so it's vitally important for us to understand it. So as I get ready to close, make sure that we understand that every success that we have in life, Yah is the source by which that success has come about. And that everything else that has happened as a result of that is only a tool. Our building is just a tool. Everything that we've generated has been just tools to bring about a result that Yah has deemed necessary in our life for whatever reason or another. And don't allow those tools now to determine our happiness. They're nothing but tools. They're nothing but material possession. And if that's the source by which our happiness is determined, we end for a rude awakening. All right? That's all I have. Any questions or comments? Okay. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for just another facet of understanding. We just ask you to continue to lead and guide us in all truth. We need your word every day manifesting in our lives. We just thank you for it. In his wonderful name, we do pray.